Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 14. We've still been going over a series during Sunday school on basic Bible beliefs. And I realized that we took the month of January off as we had our month-long revival. And did everybody get a blessing out of just having different preachers every week? And y'all want to keep doing that, not hear from me anymore? I hope you did. And I appreciated being able to sit in the services and hear preaching. And some of you might not understand that because you do it every week. But as a pastor, it was refreshing for me. And I got a lot out of it, and I'm thankful for it. So I appreciate the liberty to be able to do that. And, you know, I liked it a lot. And we might do it again next year. We'll see. We do have a couple of meetings scheduled in the winter next year, so I don't know that we'll be able to do that. But maybe in the years to follow, we could try to do something similar, but I enjoyed it. But before that, we were going over some basic Bible beliefs. We went over salvation in great detail. We went over the Christian's inheritance in great detail. And now we're gonna start this morning on the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to approach this a little bit differently than what you might normally think about when you think about the judgment seat of Christ. We will go over all the verses that pertain to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to go over the crowns and things that you can earn at the judgment seat of Christ. But before we do that, I have been asked twice in the last month on why my family does certain things. Particularly, why does my wife not wear pants? Why do we not listen to certain music? And I have Bible answers for those that I believe scripturally the Bible teaches us on how a woman ought to dress and how a man ought to dress. And so I'm going to go over some of those things this morning. And you say, what does this have to do with the judgment seat of Christ? Look at Romans chapter 14 with me. There's three subjects that'll get people mad and in a hurry, and that's telling them how to dress, how to raise their children, and what to do with their money. Amen. Those are three subjects. And this subject here, I have preached on before at the church, and we did lose families after it. Yeah. But it's between you and God. And I want to say this as we go through here, that your Christian walk is between you and God. Amen. It's between you and God. What I'm going to go over this morning is why I preach the way I do, and why our family lives this way. It doesn't make us any better than anybody else. That's not what it's about. Right. I ask you the question, why do you do what you do? When you get up tomorrow morning and you go into your clothes closet and open it up and get dressed and you start your day, and as you go through your day and as you get in your vehicle and you turn on whatever you listen to, as you go through your work day and you get home at night and you turn on your television, as you do everything you do throughout your day, starting tomorrow, why do you do all that? And the question is it to please God or to please yourself?
Amen.
I mean, that's what this boils down to. And so the question this morning is why, I guess if I had to title this study, which it'll go on for several weeks, including what I'm going to cover this morning, is why I do and why I do not. I mean, I guess if I had to title it, it would be something along those lines. And again, you say, what does it have to do with the judgment seat of Christ? Look here with me in Romans chapter 14. We're going to go over these verses again later on in the study. Okay? And I am recording this if there's anybody that's not here that would like to hear it. You know, I've been called a cult leader. Yeah. I've been called a legalist.
Yeah.
I've been called a dictator. I've been called angry for teaching what I'm about to teach this morning. And it's tied in here right now.
Come on, that's right.
I know it is, and that's fine. But I'm going to show you from the Bible, and I believe there is plenty of verses in the Bible and that shows, and for those that say that's Old Testament, I've got so much on here that there's you have to do something with it.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
So much in here, you have to do something with it.
Amen.
All right? And so Romans chapter 14, verse number 7. And again, I'm going to go over and read more verses on this later as we get to this portion of Scripture, but it'll be a few weeks down the line. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. All right? So right off the bat, it's telling us this is not about you. It's not about you. Our whole Christian walk is about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being lifted up and Him being magnified. That's what our life ought to be about. Amen. About Him. For whether we live, verse 8, we live unto ourselves.
No.
But that's how we treat it. Okay? We live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are ourselves.
No,
we're the Lord's. This has to do with the judgment seat of Christ. It's got to do with pleasing Him. And so, if that's the case, if we live unto the Lord, then we need to know what pleases the Lord. Now, again, I'm going to say this probably a few times going through here. I do not want to make anybody upset or mad. And I do care to a certain extent as a pastor, but I don't care what you do, what you wear, what you where you go, or what you listen to. That's between you and God. And just because we have certain, what I believe are Bible standards, and I believe I have plenty of verses for them to justify us doing that, does not make us any more saved than anybody else. It doesn't make us better than anybody else. We see people that dress a different way than what we do, my wife and my kids, I tell them, we're not any better than anybody. We don't do this to be better than anybody. That goes back to the question, why do you do the things you do? And if I said that we dress the way that we do, and my daughters do, and my wife, or we listen to the music we listen to, or we don't go certain places, we don't do certain things, if I was to say that we do those things because we're better, then I'm doing it for the wrong reasons.
Amen.
And the judgment seat of Christ is not going to fare well for me.
Right.
Even though I look good doing it. Amen. Or look modest, or whatever the case might be. There's certain groups that do those things because of selfish, self-righteous reasons. They think they're better. And there's going to be people that get to heaven that didn't dress the same way, and they're going to get more crowns than all those people.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they don't love God. It doesn't mean they're not saved. There's people, I preach against a lot of things. And there's other denominations, and there's other groups of people and groups of churches that don't do it the same way we do. And does that mean they don't love God? They say they love God. I just got to take their word on it. But keep reading with me. I hope you all stay with me. And this is going to take a few weeks, so you got to keep coming back. I wish I could cover it all. There's just not time to do it in one setting. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This gets back to why do you do what you do? If you do it and you dress a certain way and you listen to certain music or whatever, and I'm talking about outward appearance things. I know the Lord looketh upon the heart, and God's going to deal with your heart. And that's a part of this study later on. But man does look on the outward appearance. And God has a lot to say about the outward appearance. And so, if you're doing it because you're judging your brother or you think you're better than them, then that's not going to fare well for you. Because you're doing it for the wrong reason. You say, what are we doing it for? I'm going to get to that. Verse number 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of their neighbor to God. No, it's not what it says. It says every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. With that being said, I'm gonna go over the next few weeks and show you from the Bible why I preach the way I do and why my family lives to a certain, what we believe to be a Bible standard. I'm going to show you from the Bible. All right? As I said, I've been called cult leader, legalist, dictator, angry, fundamentalists, all these different things, you know, setting up all these rules. But I don't want to be a pastor that just tells people what to do. I want to show them from the Bible why we do these things. So every man will give an account of himself to God. When I finish this study over the next few weeks, Go do whatever you think that God will be pleased with.
Amen.
Amen.
And you won't hear nothing from me about it. Now, because I'm the pastor of this church, I'm going to ask that all the Sunday school teachers, the lady Sunday school teachers, do not wear pants at the church. If they're in a position. And if they can't do that, then that's fine. They still can come to church. And it won't. That's fine. Nothing will ever be said about it. But if you teach a Sunday school class at any church functions, but I'm about to show you from the Bible. And as a pastor, we can do that. Amen? All right. So some Christians have certain standards or convictions in their home and in their life that are not scriptural. But that's what God laid on their heart. And that's okay. There's some things that we do where you might say, where's the verse on that? This is just what God's laid on my heart that we should do. But in the area of dress, I believe the Bible is abundantly clear, and we're going to start going over that. Look at Zephaniah chapter 1. Again, this study is going to go on for a couple weeks. And so if you just get a part of it, you might say, well, Brother Andrew, I don't see that. Well, if you only come to one or you only hear one of them, you're not going to get it all. But I'm telling you, it's very, very clear, I believe. All right, if you're looking for Zephaniah, some of you probably have to go to the front of your Bible to find out what page number. But it's there towards the back. Amen. All right, Zephaniah, right before Haggai and right after Habakkuk. Okay? Zephaniah chapter 1. And look with me in verse number 1. Again, please stay with me and please know that I'm not doing this to hurt anybody.
Amen.
I was asked those things and I was like, you know what? If I'm telling people they ought to do this, I don't want them to ask me, well, why do we do that?
Right.
I mean, I do want you to ask, but the fact that somebody had to ask me means that maybe some point I failed as a pastor showing why we do it. Because there's a reason that we do. All right, Zephaniah chapter 1, and look with me in verse number 1. Okay? The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks which the wicked are with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off all the remnant of Baal from this place and the names of the Chimerims with the priests. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. So, Brother Andrew, what does this have anything to do with the way we dress? Can you not see here in the first few verses there's some things that make the Lord mad? Amen. So far, that's what we're looking at. Things that upset him and things that make him mad. Verse number six, and them that are turned back from the Lord and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. And I know where we're at dispensationally. I'm just trying to get a point across. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. So God's going to he's dealing with all these things. And he mentions all those that are clothed with strange apparel. What does that mean? Apparel that they shouldn't be wearing. And that's defined in a lot of different ways. It's defined in a vain way or flashy way. It's defined in wearing something that doesn't pertain to whatever you were created as. And what I'm teaching this morning goes against everything society teaches.
Right.
It goes against everything that our current administration believes in.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
But it is a battle that has been going on since the very beginning. You say clothing? Yes, since the very, very beginning. But of recent time, it has not been that long ago that it was unacceptable for a woman to wear a pair of pants. In modern history, it was unacceptable for a woman to wear a pair of pants. It was only in the 19th century is when some women began to, what they call champion pants for women, as an acceptable everyday clothing as option for women. But it didn't catch on until the mid-20th century. The adoption of pants as a popular item of dress for women in the Western society traces its roots to the mid-19th century dress reform movement. Look with me in Isaiah chapter number 4. Isaiah chapter number 4. And I know that there's always folks that have questions or comments about certain things. And a lot of times when I preach on this, a woman will come and say, well, you can be immodest in a skirt. Yes, you can. Anything that is form-fitting and tight is immodest. Anything. I don't care if you're wearing a potato sack. If it's too tight, it's immodest. Amen. Anything can be that way. Skinny jeans on men are immodest. It is. If you can tell the form and the shape of your loins and your legs or your chest, it's immodest. All right? And because the Bible defines what nakedness is. And again, we're going to go over all this. I know there's not enough time to cover it, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. Isaiah chapter 4. And look in verse number 1. We're talking about when it started becoming acceptable for women to wear pants. It started in the 19th century. They really made a push for it. It didn't catch on until the 20th century. All right. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own what? Apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. There would be a day come where they'll say, we'll wear our own apparel. You're not going to tell us what, you know, what to wear in those things. 2 Timothy 3:6. The Bible says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is talking about in the perilous time. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, pride, boastful, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I mean, the list goes on in the last days. And in verse number 6, it said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Say, what are you talking about? A woman by the name of Elizabeth Smith Miller is the one that is often credited as the first modern woman to wear pants. She was a suffragette, and I'll define that in a second. Her goal in the 1800s, in the United States, was to help women in the right to vote. And in order to move in that direction, she was one of the first women to start wearing pants and pushing for them to wear pants. And she said, pants have a meaning behind them of authority. Someone that's wearing pants has authority, and women ought to have authority. Right. Now, I'm not going to go over all the verses for sake of time where that's against Scripture. It doesn't mean that men are any better than women, but everybody has their place. Right. And everything in society that the devil has done since the beginning is to reverse what God says.
Right.
To change the order. That's why it is bad to be a white male today. Why? Because God enlarged Japheth.
Right.
I mean, doesn't make him, didn't say that God loved them any more than anybody else. It doesn't mean they can't get saved. Everybody's got their place.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody has their place. And so, but anything the Bible defines, the devil wants to change it up. And society, man, wants to do away with it.
Right.
That's what the Tower of Babel was about.
Right.
We
Amen.
Don't need God. We can do it. And that's what all this is about. And so you've got that verse talking about lead captive, silly women laden with sin. So this woman, she was the one that's credited as the first modern woman to wear pants in the 1800s. And it was to help women's rights to be able to vote. And I'm not even going to touch that. But the suffragettes was a member of an activist woman's organization in the early 20th century who, under the banner of Vote for Women, fought for the right to vote in public elections. All right? The Bible has a whole lot to say about a woman's place in the home and in the church. And I'm not going to get into that right now. I know there's a lot of churches that used to say the head of household is what was to vote in a church. The head of, it's quiet in here. I knew it would be, it don't matter. That the head of household was the only one. You say, why is that? Because he's the man of the house and that's what ought to go. Right? But then they changed it. Why? Because the women disagreed with the men. All
right?
And so this goes way back, and I'm not getting on that right now. That's a whole other Bible study some other time. All right? And so you got shows today like The View. I mean, that's supposed to be the standard of what women's rights is today, right?
Right.
And it's wicked. It's wicked. All right, so Mary Tyler Moore. Does anybody recognize her name?
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the scripture. I got a lot of it. Mary Tyler Moore. She was she's credited in the 60s as changing the mindset that women should be able to wear their own apparel. We just read that in the Bible. And she did that by pushing and changing the boundaries on the Dick Van Dyke Show. When it started off, she didn't wear them at all. But as time went on, she would wear them sometimes. And then by the time the show was ended, she wore them all the time. And she prides herself on being one of the ones to change that mindset of being able to change it. Did you realize that up until 1993... Up until 1993, now to some of the younger kids, I know we have one of the Sunday school classes in here. That's a, you know, you can't even think about that, but that was even in my time. Amen. 1993. When were you born? I don't want to give your age away. When were you born? No, Ruth.
93.
In 93. Up until 1993, it was a rule on the floor of the U.S. Senate that women were not allowed to wear pants. And there's multiple news articles where women tried to come in and they told them, leave, and when you come back, modest. What were they doing? All they were doing was wearing pants.
Wow.
When you come back modest, then you can come back in. All right? You said, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that it's not always been this way. It's not always been okay.
Yeah.
And now it used to be, even in the church we went to in the 90s, from the best of my knowledge, if a woman wore something on Sunday and you saw her Monday through Friday, she's wearing something that looks really similar. It's not like that anymore. When we leave church today, I mean, most people will go home and now a lot of churches today, they wear whatever they want. They've gone full out. We're going to do whatever we want to do. But the Bible believing churches say we stand on the King James Bible. They'll wear something certain today. But when they go home, they'll change and they won't put that back on again until the next Sunday.
Right.
Now, if it's okay for Monday, why is it not okay for Sunday?
Amen.
Why? Because you would say that's not proper to wear to church. That's not modest to wear to church. And that's what people would say. They said, well, no, why is it when you get somebody that's lost that you invite to church, ladies? You invite a lost person to church or somebody that maybe is out of church. And you say, would you please come visit our church? And the first thing they say to you is, I have what?
Underwear.
Y'all help me. I have nothing to wear.
Yeah.
Why? Because she recognizes that there ought to be something different about a Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
All right? But we've completely just ignored all that. And again, I'm going over why we do it and why I preach the way that I do. And I've got the verses we're going to go over. I'm just trying to lay groundwork here. So even the lost world acknowledges the Word of God. You realize every time, now this is going to change this year. Every time you go into a public restroom, That organization acknowledges the Word of God on the bathroom door. Why? It has a universal picture for a ladies' restroom and she's wearing a dress. And has a universal picture for a men's restroom and he's wearing pants. I mean, even that. Now, I've gone into some that have half a woman and half a man. You say, what are you saying? It's unisex either way. But it describes it both ways. When we went to Israel, they have no signs on the bathroom. It's whatever goes. And that's what's happened. That's what's coming here. That's happening this year. They're going to do away with. I'm telling you right now, if a sucker walks into the bathroom behind my daughter and wife, it is not going to be good.
Amen.
I will stand there and block the door until they get out.
Amen.
I'm going to. He's not going in the bathroom with my daughters.
Right.
That is wicked.
Amen.
There's some wicked stuff that went on in the Bible, and that's what's coming now. And it has to do with identity. It has to do with going against God's word. All this has to do with that.
Yeah.
Women wearing pants has to do with that. Men wearing dresses, that's happening.
Yeah.
Over in European countries, they're wearing skirts and dresses now. That has to do with identity and doing opposite of what God has set in order.
Yeah.
You know what they're trying to do? Reverse the curse.
Right. Yeah.
What's the curse? We're going to go look at it in Genesis as we go through this study because clothing is dealt with in the third chapter of your Bible. Clothing begins to be dealt with, and it's dealt with all the way until the book of Revelation. Clothing's dealt with in all through the Bible. And I'm going to show you that as we go through here. But in the third chapter, it shows up, and it has to do with a curse because man sinned in the garden. And they messed up in the garden. And women submitting to men and being in that role in the authority has to do with the sin. It has to do with curse. So what do we want to do? We want to reverse the curse. Men shall work by the sweat of their brow. Right? By the sweat of their face. And you know, get out there and work. And when I get done preaching this morning, I got to take my shirt to the dry cleaners because there's a brown ring in here. What does that mean? It means I'm a dirt ball.
Yeah.
All the women that say, man, my husband's just a dirt ball. Yeah, he is. He's just an animated dirt ball. That's all we are. Amen. Dress it up whatever you want. Put makeup on it. It's a dirt ball. That's all we are. But you know what? Today, it is a bad thing to want to work with your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they say? I mean, I think we even said it when we were in school and it worked, I guess. But, hey, you don't do your schoolwork or you're going to have to go be a garbage man. Or you're going to have to dig ditches for a living. If you don't do your schoolwork and don't do... What does that mean? We're trying to shed negative light on working with your hands. And everybody wants to be an accountant. And everybody wants to be, if you're an accountant, I'm sorry. And everybody wants to, I work behind a desk. And I love my job. I'm thankful for it. But what I'm saying is society is, and the devil and man has been trying to reverse the curse. Women in childbearing will go through sorrow. Man, they can drug you up so much now, you don't even know what planet you're on when you're having the baby.
Yeah.
What? Reverse the curse. God laid something out. Man and the devil have teamed up to reverse it. And now Christians have fallen right in line.
Right.
In the 90s, like I said, the church I went to, from the best of my recollection, and I'm sure there were some rebels, but for the most part, every time we saw a woman that was out, she had on the same thing you would see her on Sunday.
Right.
It might not be as fancy, but it was still a dress or a skirt, and it was very modest.
Yeah.
Now what's happened? We're here in the 2000s. Now we're in 2020s. And now most Bible-believing churches, I probably can count on one hand the people I know personally that live that way every day. But I believe that this is what the Scripture teaches. And again, I'm going over why I preach the way I do and why my family does what they do. All this has to do with identity. It has to do with your identity in Christ. It has to do with your identity in the Lord. And I knew this would be a real quiet study. But we're going to keep going over it. I'm going to show you the verses. Please stay with me. And please don't think that I'm being arrogant or that I'm saying that. Again, the first thing you say is, well, you think you're better than everybody. No, I don't. I'm not better than anybody. We do what we do to try to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give this illustration again, but when they brought that donkey into town, that old filthy animal, they clothed that donkey with a blanket and they covered it and they clothed it to put Jesus on it, not to keep the donkey clean, but to keep Jesus clean. And we clothe ourselves and we dress modestly to keep the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ clean. It has nothing to do with us or how good we are or anything like that. Amen. It has to do with keeping Jesus clean. The devil's been trying to erase God's word from the very, very beginning. And he has been successful so far in doing that. Amen. I mean, we're so far away from the Bible now. And those that still hold the King James Bible and say we're Bible believers, there's a lot of it that they have let go to the side. Why? Because of society. Amen. This is what everybody's doing. And my wife told me, she said, Andrew, you do not know what it feels like to have people staring at you everywhere you go. And I don't. I don't know what that's like. I guess if I put on a skirt and a dress, I would know what that was like. But I'm serious. But she wears a skirt and a dress and people stare at her when she's out somewhere. She's like, you don't know what that... And then all of a sudden, they automatically assume you're with a certain group.
Right.
All right? But that certain group that they associate with them, the Pentecostal church, that they have stayed faithful to the way that they dress as a whole. Not all of them. Some of them have compromised too. But when you see them, you say, well, they're Pentecostal or holy. Oh, that's a bad thing to be holy?
Right.
Now, I understand some of them are doing it for the wrong reason, but some of them aren't. Some of them just say, this is the way a woman ought to dress, and this is what I'm doing.
Amen.
So I understand it could be hard for women today to do that because it's not popular. And, you know, the devil tries to throw a curveball. He comes back out with certain dresses, but they're really short. But it's a dress. If it's short, it's immodest. If it's tight, it's immodest. If it's see-through, it's immodest. If you have to lay on the bed to button your pants, it's immodest. Yoga pants in any way, shape, or form are immodest.
Amen.
Why? They show things. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to Genesis chapter number 2. You ever heard of the law of first mention in the Bible? The law of first mention?
Amen.
Usually the law of first mention in the Bible sets a precedent for the rest of your Bible. Genesis chapter number 2, and I'm going to run out of time this morning, and I've got a good ways to go on this, because I really want you to understand why I do this.
Amen.
And it has nothing to do with me just saying, well, I want to do this, or we want to be different than everybody, or we want to, you know, I've heard it preached as years, for years and years and years, you know, if you want to be different than everybody, then ladies don't wear pants, and men do this, and you guys just do this, and you'll be different. But I don't know, honestly, if I've ever heard a message, maybe one in my life. I've been in church my entire life where I heard somebody say, this is why we do this.
Amen.
There's people that have left the independent Baptist movement because they say, well, they're legalists, and they're fundamentalists and all these things, and they just have all these rules and regulations. Well, I believe that God lays out some things that pleases Him. And we just looked at in Romans that we ought to please Him. And there's things that He did under the law that we don't have to do anymore. But there's things that He laid out under the law that He continues to mention throughout the entire Bible. And so we ought to give attention to it. And this is one of those things. And here it is mentioned at the very beginning of your Bible. Genesis chapter number 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 25. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And I'm asking you that you please do not get mad at this. I'm hoping I'm coming about this the right way. I've been praying about this for a month.
Amen.
Amen.
And I pray that you see it through.
Amen.
And then afterwards, do whatever you want to do.
Amen.
And I mean that. But I'm not going to stop preaching against it.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 2, verse number 25. We say that I've never one time gone up to one person in our church and address them about the way that they dressed. I've never done that. I'm not going to.
Right.
Now, if they're in a position of authority, I have went up to somebody before that was standing behind the pulpit and preaching and said, if you're going to continue to preach here, you can't do this.
Amen.
And they said, I'm not going to preach no more. And I said, that's fine. I never asked them to leave the church. I never said another word to them. you're not going to get up in the pulpit and preach if you're going to do this.
Right.
And they looked at me and said, well, I don't agree with you. I don't see it that way. And I said, that's fine. That's between you and God. But you're not going to preach in this pulpit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so if you want to participate and sing and do those things to worship God in the church, there is a certain way that, you know, but I've never had to go to anybody personally and say, hey, don't do this. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And as a rule, our church is very modest when it comes to church services. Outside of church, that's between you and God. But you have a testimony. And I'm showing you why our family does what we do and why I preach the way I do. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And they, talking about Adam and Eve, I'm not going to go over all these verses. We're dealing with clothing and nakedness. And they were both, what?
Naked.
The man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Adam and Eve are in an age that we call the age of innocence. Okay? And you can take, for example, your child when they're born, they have a certain age where they're innocent. What does that mean? They don't know right and wrong. They don't understand all those things. If you say, don't do that, they might not do it because they're afraid they're going to get their hands swatted or their bottom swatted, but they don't know why they're not doing it. They don't understand those things. They're innocent. And that's exactly the state of mind that Adam and Eve were here. They're in an age of innocence.
Right.
And God told them, he gave them a free will. I've gone over all this before. Gave them a free will so that they would choose God. Some of the angels had a free will. You said, how do you know that? Because they chose to go a different direction. God gave them that because God wanted them to choose him. And ever since then, God has been asking his people, choose me. I gave you a free will to do what you wanted, but he said, but I created you with a free will so that you'll choose me.
Amen.
And throughout the Bible and our decisions we make every day, you know what he's asking of you? Choose him.
Yeah.
Just choose him and not yourself. Okay, so Adam and Eve were naked here, and it was not a problem. They were the only two there. They were husband and wife. We know that from the very verse before that talks about because of what happened here, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. He's talking about marriage. They shall be one flesh. We have this example. God created a man. He created a woman, told them to come together in marriage, leave your father and mother. And God institutes the home right here. And right here, verse 25, they're naked and it's not a problem. Why? There's no sin. We don't read at this point where Job says, I have set no wicked thing before my eyes. The eyes of men and their thoughts are wicked.
Man.
There's no sin here right now. It's not a problem.
That's right.
Okay? So that they weren't ashamed. They were naked. Just like your child runs around without a stitch of clothing on and they're not worried about it. I mean, you could have dinner guests over. And they were fully clothed when they went in their room. But when they came out, there was nothing on. And they're running wide open through there. They're innocent. This is the state that Adam and Eve were in. You know the story? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They made a choice with their free will to go against God and not choose God. When they ate that, now they have a knowledge. They received a conscience that told them what was wrong and what was right. Okay? We're dealing with clothing. Their conscience told them what was right and what was wrong. God has given every person a conscience
right, to
let them know what's right and wrong. You can look at creation. We're going to look at verse in 1 Corinthians later on that tells us that even creation or even, you know, society, everything tells us that there's something wrong with a man looking like a woman and a woman looking like a man. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11. I got it in my notes. We're going to go look at it. I mean, that tells you that. Why? God put that in you. He put a standard in you. So they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were innocent at this point. There was no issue with lust. There was no issue with perversion. There was no issue with nakedness. There was no issue with adultery and fornication. There was no sin there. I mean, if they never would have sinned, we might have all been walking around naked right now. I have no clue. Amen? Because it wasn't until they ate that fruit that they realized they were naked. And that's the first thing that they realized when they took of that fruit. They said, something's wrong. We're naked. All right. Are y'all staying with me?
Amen.
All right. Genesis chapter 3. And you say, what does this have to do with pants? come in a couple. We're getting there. I'm going to go over that. All right, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 9.
Amen.
And the Lord God called unto man and said unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice. They've already partook of the fruit. I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was what?
Naked.
And I hid myself. Adam had received a conscience. And the first thing his conscience said is, you're naked, put some clothes on. I mean, God put that in him. And that's the first thing. And the age of accountability, you've heard me say this before. I believe that age of accountability is getting to the point where a child realizes they're naked and they become ashamed because of that. With all my children, it's been that way. You walk in their room to help them get ready in the morning. They might be running. You're trying to chase them, and they're, you know, don't got to start your clothes on. And, man, you're trying to chase them. They think it's a game, and they're laughing, and they don't have no clothes on. But then one day you walk in the room, and they run and jump behind a chair and say, Daddy, get out. I'm naked.
That's right.
Yeah. You say, what happens then? Then I really, 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 I've been praying, but I really turn up the prayers, God save them.
Yeah.
Save them at a young age. Why? Now they have a conscience telling them what's right and wrong. And the first sign is they're naked.
Yeah.
The very first sign. Let me finish with this right here, with this thought, and then we'll continue, Lord willing, next week if anybody shows up. All right. So verse number 9. We just read it. He said, I was naked and I hid myself. Just like your child teaches you that.
Yeah.
When they did that same exact thing. They realize they're naked. And now you've got magazines. Smith Lake's got its own magazine. Coleman's got a magazine. And this last summer, they had a picture of an 8 or 9 year old girl in a two-piece jumping into the water on the front of the magazine. You say, what is that? Hey, some pervert somewhere loves that.
Yep.
Yeah.
But society says, that's okay. That's okay. All right. Verse 11. And he, God, said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And then he goes on to blame his wife, like most men do. God gave him a free will to choose. Look at verse number 21. I'm going to stop right here. Verse number 21. This is the first time in your Bible, other than Adam and Eve clothing themselves. When Adam and Eve clothed themselves, it was not acceptable to God. The clothing that they chose to wear was not approved by God. In the pictures, which we have no clue what happened, but in the cartoons, it just has spots covered. Right? I mean, society tells you that, books and stuff, pictures people draw, it has spots covered. And you know what I'm talking about. It was whatever they did to clothe themselves, God said, that's not good enough.
Right.
And in God's eyes, they were still naked. Okay?
Amen.
So you find the very first seamstress in the Bible. And who was that? That was God. We're talking about law of first mentions. It sets groundwork for the rest of the Bible when it comes to nakedness. This verse right here sets groundwork for the rest of the Bible. All the way through the book of Revelation, it sets groundwork. And I define nakedness as being from the neck down to the knees. And here is the first verse in the Bible that I believe shows that. And we're going to go over all the other ones. And then we're going to deal with pants specifically later on. Because I'm trying to tell you why we do what we do as a family. And why my wife and my daughter's just the way they do. When they get older, they got to make a choice between them and God. But I want them to know this is why we do it. And if they choose to do it, they're going to say, we're going against what Dad says and against what we believe these verses teach. All right? But that'll be their choice. But I don't want them to get older and say, I always had to. I was made to. They are, but I don't want that to be the reason they stop. I want them to constantly say, well, this is what the Bible says, but this is what we chose to do.
Amen.
All right? And I pray they make the right decision. Okay? So verse number 21. Again, I define it from the neck down, and here's the very first verse that gives us an inkling of why I believe that. There's several other verses. Okay? unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make, what does it say?
Coats
of skins and clothe them. So this defines going forward what God defines as being clothed and nakedness. You say, okay, I get the coat part. I'm wearing a coat this morning that covers, you know, if I was the clothes, if you got a coat and you zip it up, any kind of coat, there's a fisherman's coat talked about later on in the Bible that somebody clothed themselves with. That covers the top part. Am I right?
Right.
Talk about a coat. That's what covers the top part. You say, well, how do you know about the knee part? That one is even more clear in Scripture. That God defines nakedness as being your loin area, your waist, down to the knee.
Amen.
And we're going to go over all those verses. So we got the top part and we got the bottom part in Scripture as defining what God considers to be naked, not society.
Amen.
If you were to ask somebody on the street what's nakedness, I mean, they would say if they're wearing a string, you know what, that they're not naked. There's some people that says, well, they got a wristband on, they're not naked, they're wearing something. Well, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to know what God defines as nakedness. And so far, right here off the start, he said he made them coats.
Amen.
And because we can compare Scripture with Scripture, the coats covered the top all the way down to at least the knee.
Amen.
They got the very first fur coat in the Bible, ladies. And God made it. It was the right size, nothing wrong with it. Didn't have to take it back to the thrift store or wherever you got it from. Amen. God made them coats. You say, well, how do you know it's to the knee? Because later he defines that area as being naked. And I know that because that's how God defined it, that it went at least to their knee.
Right.
And he made them coats and it covered up and they got fur jackets. And now God says, the way you clothed was unacceptable, but here's how I want you clothed. That's acceptable to me. And we have that pattern through the rest of the Bible. And we're going to go over several more verses on why I do and why we do what we do and why we don't do what we do. And again, please, please be clear on this. Do whatever you think is right with God. I mean, if you're good wearing yoga pants, you're good wearing shorts that, you know, everything's hanging out on and all the cellulitis is showing in there, that's between you and God. Amen. It's really quiet in here, and it's fine. I had somebody ask me, and as a pastor, and I preach these things, and I want to teach you why I do it.
Amen.
All right, so next week, Lord willing, we'll get into some more verses. Let's pray.